Welcome to University Showcase. I'm Megan Kamrick. On today's show, I am speaking with Dr. Laura Chenchen Patahon about her work in community-based participatory research. CBPR works with communities, not on or for them, to gather their own data and find solutions. We'll hear how she's applying these principles at UNM and in community clinics around Nicaragua. Dr. Patahon is the Executive Director of the Office of Community Health and Assistant Professor in the Department of Family Medicine at UNM. She and her husband David are also the co-founders of Amos Health and Hope. It's a Christian nonprofit organization that works to improve the health of impoverished communities by working alongside them in health, education, and development. I'm speaking with Dr. Patahon by Skype from Nicaragua, where she is working with Amos right now. Thank you for joining us on University Showcase. What is community-based participatory research?
It's a way of how we work with communities, not on them or for them, but really it's about the practice of working together for health equity. The definition I really love is one that Nina Wallerstein and her colleagues have written, which is CBPR is the collaborative effort, so like the partnering efforts between different stakeholders who actually gather and use data and research to really build on strengths and priorities of the communities, and then looking at different levels of strategies to improve health and equity. So it's really about, to me, how we all come together, but really use what's at our fingertips, really start with our strengths and resources and see what we can do together to really improve health equity.
And how did you get interested in doing that kind of work as a doctor?
So I think as a physician, we're really, really well trained to see patients one at a time. That's what we're really best at. And I have always really wanted to understand how we actually work with communities, because at the end of the day, probably what we do as physicians is a very small part of what makes someone healthy. They attribute only 10 to 20% of what we do in the clinical world as actually improving health. And then all the other 80% are the social determinants, you know, all the things about our environment, where we work, where we live, how we live, our stressors. And so as a physician, I really wanted to know, how do we address the more global well-being of populations, and especially the most vulnerable populations? So for me, community-based participatory research is kind of how we approach communities, how we are all working together and partnering together for improved health.
Is that why you came to UNM? Were people doing this kind of work here?
Yeah, so that's an interesting story. So I actually was at Brown University, and I took this kind of a random class on health and politics in Latin America. And in this class, you know, I was struggling with, like, should I be a physician or not? I was trying to decide between being a physician and being a teacher. But I actually come from a line of, like, 64 Chanchen doctors. So they didn't give me a lot of career options growing up. They were like, you have to be a doctor. So I was like, well, if I have to be a doctor, I want to try to be one that's really serving and working with communities. And so the professor I had in that class actually knew my like current boss, Art Kaufman, and said, if you want to be a doctor for the poor, if you really want to serve communities, you need to come to UNM. And so I did. And I also was teaching English as a second language at the time. And Dr. Nina Wallerstein, who actually is one of the people in the forefront of you know, the whole CBPR movement, was here as well. So I was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is amazing. You know, it's like this amazing med school here. And Nina was just starting a public health school. And so I was like, well, you know, if I could get in, this would be the most amazing combination of like doing health professional work and public health that's focused on communities. And that's how I ended up at UNM.
And how did you end up in Nicaragua?
I ended up in Nicaragua because while I was here at UNM, I met my husband, who actually is from Nicaragua and grew up here. Ironically, his dad was one of the group of people who developed community-based primary health care. And community-based primary health care isn't what we traditionally think of as primary health care. It's actually primary health care that's run by and for and with communities by community health workers. And so I actually had the opportunity for the past 18 years to really understand how another health system works So in Nicaragua, the government policy is that there's universal health care for all people, but they don't necessarily have enough money to serve all the people in the population. So we've aligned with them to work together in more some of the more remote areas, and I'll work in, as a complement to the existing health system. And then I've been working with Nina and other colleagues in the community-based participatory research world so that people in communities who are community health workers are also researchers. So it's awesome. You know, the community health workers we work with are third and fourth grade educated. They're in the middle of nowhere. They're delivering, you know, babies, if there's an emergency, they're referring, they're seeing patients, but they're also doing community-based research in coordination with actually, you know, university groups, church groups, different other nonprofits. What CBPR is all about is really like, how much more effective would interventions be, would our work be if we partner effectively with others? And that's kind of the heart of what CBPR is. And I think the heart of how we practice in communities, you know, to me, it's the practice of hope, right? That each and every single one of us can help and make a difference. And then how do each one of us from where we're coming from, our special gifts, our special resources, both in communities, universities, churches, all the different partners, the government, trying to all work towards that that goal of health equity. So I found it a really great methodology to combine with community-based primary health care because it's empowering communities.
Mm-hmm. So you're going between UNM and Nicaragua?
Yes. So I have been going back and forth for a while now, bringing kind of what's going on in the CBPR research that Nina and her team has been doing here in New Mexico and all throughout the country, and then kind of interfacing it with what we've been doing in Nicaragua, like the practice of it. And really that going back and forth and sharing with each other at the end of the day, what partnering practices in different contexts are most effective. So one of our works that we've been doing in Nicaragua with AMIS is how do we train health professionals to actually have the skills to interface with communities. In medicine, we're always taught like all these protocols for pneumonia or diarrhea, right? They're very specific evidence-based protocols and they're great, but we are not taught protocols for how to work in communities. And I think community work shouldn't be like protocols. It should be a set of principles. It should be the ethos of how we show up in communities, of how we listen, you know, and how we partner and recognizing that they have so much more to share with us. Yes, we might have a skill set of like doing research or surveys, but they know who really runs that community. They have indigenous knowledge that really actually will make or break whether a program works or not in a community. And I think it's that interface between community-led work and then universities coming to facilitate, right? The what they know, right? And then the communities facilitating universities, knowing how to work with them, that kind of give and take of that it's not unidirectional, it's bidirectional. And as physicians being like humble enough, you know, because like in a lot of countries, you know, it's always like there's a power thing, right? Oh, the doctor knows, or oh, it's doctor so-and-so. And we're trying to reduce those power differentials and say, no, we don't know everything. You know, you guys know so much and we're together going to figure this out together.
Do you bring medical students and doctors from here down there to experience that?
Yes. Yes. We have like a whole program, yeah, called the Global Health Practicum, where we actually do training and like academic stuff on how to do CBPR in communities and also how to implement community-based primary health care. But also we work with a lot of churches and mission teams to really actually, based on community priorities, link in with other people like churches or other groups to address and support resources for a longer term impact. So together with different church groups and university groups and other nonprofits, built 22 rural clinics in the middle of nowhere that are run by community health workers. It's different partners coming together and practicing hope together, right? Practicing the fact that we're all in this together. there's this awesome quote from Cornel West, who's a theologian at Harvard, who said, love is a steadfast commitment to the well-being of others, and justice is what love looks like in public. And to me, that's the practice of CBPR, right? It's like, how are we practicing love? How are we, you know, doing social justice and working for health equity for all people? So, and it's practical, right? Like, we teach people very practical skills, like how to do each step, how to work, you know, in communities, how to self-reflect. A really important part of CBPR is critical self-reflection. I mean, I just can't tell you how many mistakes I've made over my lifetime of community engagement work, right? And being able to say, yeah, I did make a mistake. I'm sorry. And I'm showing up, and you keep on trying to show up as best as you can, you know, and I think being there for the long haul, which is what we've been doing for the past 18 years. And I also know here at UNM, the work that I'm doing with Art Kaufman now and Nina, they've been in communities for, you know, decades. That constant desire to work towards social justice is what really inspires me to work both in Nicaragua and in New Mexico, and trying to bring that together is what I really like to see. And not just here, you know, not just like New Mexico and Nicaragua, but like really globally, how are we part of a global movement at UNM to serve the poorest people and come up with strategies, you know, to do that together?
This is University Showcase on KUNM. I'm Megan Kamrick. I'm speaking with Dr. Laura Chenchen-Patahon about her healthcare work using community-based participatory research. She's the executive director of the Office of Community Health and assistant professor in the Department of Family Medicine at UNM. She and her husband, David, are also the co-founders of AMOS, Health and Hope. It's a nonprofit that works with impoverished communities to improve health education and development. The promotoras, the community health workers, they're not just delivering care. They're actually doing research. They're collecting and analyzing their own data. Why is that so important?
Collecting your own data, that's very powerful. Then you understand your world. You understand how to take that and put it into action. And actually, a lot of the work we do in Nicaragua, and a lot of the work I'm seeing it as like what I love doing, is how do we set up organizations and institutions so that that work can be done, right? Because this kind of work takes a lot more time than just collecting data, bringing it into your office. I mean, CBPR by its nature implies that you are no longer sitting in your office. It's getting out there in the communities. It's not working normal hours. It's working weekends. It's working nighttimes when communities can be there. I mean, this is a sad thing, right? Everything's set up so institutionally you're like, oh, you have to get all these papers in, or you have to get all this, all these RVUs for your medical clinic work, which is really important.
What is an RVU?
Where are they? They're like a number of clinical hours you do, right? Okay. So the number of clinical hours is really important, like how many patients you see. It's about how many papers you're putting out. The clinic part is important to communities. Like, definitely we need to be serving communities clinically and stuff and providing services. But are papers important to communities? And when we spend so much more time in communities working with them and being in relationship with them, but that's not necessarily put as an important part of your academic practice, right? Those are like kind of more institutional structures that actually hinder community work, right? And community work takes time. But you know what? If we really want to say that our university is like trying to improve community health, or our organization is trying to improve community health, you know, no matter what university or organization it is, then how are our structures set up so that it recognizes the time it takes to build to improve community work, that it's about relationships first. It's about how we train our future health professionals to take the time to self-reflect, to be humble, to listen. It's so much faster to do a proposal. It's so much faster to do anything when you just do it in your office on your own, right? So a lot of the work that I've been doing is like, how do we set up our organizational structure, not just the mission and the vision, but the processes, so that on our team in Nicaragua, everything is set up so the first year we're just listening to communities, the proposals we're doing with communities. We really wanted to do a breastfeeding project, right, to improve breastfeeding rates. But the community, what they really want is actually a neonatal care program to make sure their babies get cared for well in the hospitals. Those are the kinds of things that we're doing all the time in our work, but it makes it a longer process. But what we've seen is reduced mortality rates of up to 80% in our work.
Wow, that's impressive.
And yeah, the data the communities are collecting, they're self-reflecting. How did that baby die? Why did that baby die? We look at the data together and then we take action. And there's a really common thing called the plan, do, study, act cycle for quality improvement, you know, in the medical world. And we use that same plan, do, study, act cycle, but we add the empowerment piece, right? How are you empowered by quality improvement? You know, it's how do you take this information and make it your own and then make a change in your community to improve health? So that's what it's been very impactful, you know, setting up your team. We spend a lot of time training people so that they can know how to work alongside communities, with communities. Because really the natural tendency, even in Nicaragua, is to work on or for a community because it's so much faster. But then in the end, they never have agency and they never have the capacity building that they can do it themselves. And, you know, a lot of our communities have now, you know, moved on and they actually integrate themselves into the health system. There's one of our communities in the middle of nowhere, like literally in the middle of nowhere. No one was giving them vaccines, you know, but because they knew that they could get vaccines, they were advocating at the central level, you know, of the health system to get vaccines and were able to organize for that. This one guy got like 30 horses just organized to get people immunized, you know.
You mean to get them to the places where they could be immunized?
No, like they brought the vaccines there.
On the horses. To the community. Oh, okay.
It's like a community in the middle of nowhere. Like yeah. It takes 6 hours just to drive to like the town that is closest to, and then another 6 hour by horseback to get to that community.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. So it's that kind of thing that like makes me realize like, yes, CBPR and community-based primary health care with community health workers is very effective. And in different contexts, right? And, you know, in the United States, there's a different context, but those same principles are what a lot of people are doing here in the States too, you know. I feel like CBPR should be like integrated into organizational practice. It's not just a way of doing research. I think it's a way of organizing your institutions, your organizations to truly serve communities.
If you just tuned in, this is University Showcase on KUNM. I'm Megan Kamrick. I'm speaking with Dr. Laura Chanchin-Parajon about community-based participatory research and how she uses that as executive director of the Office of Community Health at UNM and with Amos Health and Hope, a nonprofit in Nicaragua. I was interested how your experiences with this practice of community-based participatory research and having the community collect and analyze their own data, how this model also empowers women.
Well, that's incredible. Yeah. The actual work that we've been doing in Nicaragua is primarily with women because women are the ones who are the primary caretakers of their children in Nicaragua. They're the ones who are actually every day trying to figure out and struggle to survive. So let me give you an example of how we work with women. For instance, in one of our communities, neonatal mortality, so the death of babies, they didn't think it was an issue in their community, but they were really interested in learning about their bodies. A lot of them didn't know anything about like menstruation, their period. They wanted to know about like, you know, how to take care of their babies better, health things. And so we started with that. We started out with giving the moms what they wanted or what they needed, right? What they saw as their need. So they wanted to learn about their anatomy. They wanted to learn about menstruation. So we did that. But as we kind of worked with them in their support group, they wanted to know more, like more about what they could do for their community as, you know, members of the community. So they started collecting information on like, are there really babies dying in our community? And they found out that actually the neonatal mortality rate was really high. And that data that they had, that they were able to collect as women in the community, they were able to bring it to their church leaders, their political leaders in their community, and share that that was a issue. And they also went into like, what were the causes of death of those babies? And they found that the majority of the babies had died because there was no transportation to the health clinic, right? Because it was like a 6-hour horse ride. And contrary to popular belief, most people in rural communities don't own horses. Only like wealthier people own horses, but the majority of the everyday person is walking everywhere, carrying a baby or being pregnant and walking everywhere. And so together with that data and also armed with their dreams, they shared that with the men. And they were like, guys, we need to do something about this. And it was amazing. The men then, who were actually the owners of the horses, organized a transportation committee so that anytime there was a mom who needed to get out to be seen or a baby in danger, they were able to transport them to the clinic, either by horse or by hammock, right? Like they'd get a hammock and they'd get a team of 8 guys to like walk you out of the community in a hammock. And after that, there was no neonatal death rate in that community because of what they did to organize. And because they had the data, they were able to make that decision and organize to improve their health. So that's just an example, I think, of how when women have data, when women are empowered, and it wasn't just like giving them data, right? It wasn't just about empowering them as individuals, which I think oftentimes we think of empowerment as just individual empowerment. It was empowering as a collective. How do we gain our power together? And we can't give people power, but how do we have processes so that they can claim their own power and their own voices? And then they work together to really support their community. And that's what we've seen, is that process of going from an individual who's like, I can't do anything in my life, to someone who can say, I can do something, and then a group that says we can do something to really change our lives and our communities. Yeah.
In that situation, the community may not believe them because they haven't collected the data.
The important part is that they either collect their own data or they have access to data so that as a collective group, they can act upon that data. And how are we as health professionals facilitating those efforts, right? Maybe my time is better spent 50% seeing patients, but the other 50% collectively empowering people to actually address the root causes of why they're sick in the first place, right? It kind of just makes you think, what's the role of the health professions and how much time do we spend in clinic and how much time do we spend in community? Or are there certain ones of us health professionals who are mostly spending time in community, but there's a group of more specialty people, just like there's specialties in cardiology, specialties in GI, but like also specialties in community-based care. And I just kind of think of that a lot because I'm like, yeah, what is our role as health professionals? And how do we really, are we collectively working towards improved health?
What's interesting is that you saw these improved outcomes that happened sometimes even without an influx of more resources.
Right. Well, okay. Well, this is a very interesting thing. Yes and no, right?
Uh-huh.
I think that one of the tragedies of global health, just as a kind of a thing that happens in the world, is that there's a lot of focus on stuff and not staff. People give so much stuff. So like sometimes we just get overloaded with tons of, sometimes even expired medicines, right? Tons of equipment that's been used by someone else and then now it's not working anymore. Tons of stuff, like people want to send you stuff. But really to do community empowerment work, to do this CBPR and community-based primary health care work, you need staff. You need to invest in people and in organizations and in capacity. And that's not always the easiest to seek funding for, neither in the United States nor in like developing countries, right? There's always such a focus on stuff. And so I think that one of the next frontiers of how we think about how we help organizations or institutions or universities is how are we financing this kind of work? How are we investing in communities, in capacity, in a lot of times we'll give a grant to a community for like 2 years or something. That's not enough time to build capacity, right? We need to invest in communities for at least 5 years. That's the minimum. And I don't think we're doing that as a society, both, in the United States and globally. We're not investing in the capacity piece of communities so that they can do this kind of work. Does that make sense? So
yeah.
Even though like, it seems like, yeah, we didn't have to do a lot like of giving stuff to the moms. We spent a lot of staff time out there, right? Mm-hmm. Supporting the moms and training the moms and and encouraging the moms so that at the end they did have their own capacity, but that was like a, you know, year long process, right?
And it's also building those relationships and that trust takes a long, long time.
And think about it in New Mexico. It's the same thing, right? Driving out to all those rural communities in New Mexico, that has a cost, right? You know, who's the staff that's going to go out there and work with communities, you know, and how are we giving resource to communities, and how are we as universities, as organizations, a part of that process, and how are we changing our paradigm so it's not so much stuff or not so much short-term stuff, but more long-term. Yeah, like we're in this for the long haul. And yeah, it's going to take a while to show outcomes. But when we do show the outcomes, they'll be much better, I think, than if we just do these short-term little things that are like 1 year, 2 year. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's always this pressure on in the nonprofit world from grantors to look at,
oh, totally,
like, what's your overhead? You should have a really, really low overhead, which, of course, means not much staff.
Exactly. So we're going to try to do all this without having the accountant who's going to, like, make sure all the finances are good, without having the admin who assures that everything runs smoothly, right? It's almost like, yeah, like businesses actually have those things in place, right? So they're asking like health nonprofits and community nonprofits to do the same thing like businesses, because actually our problems in the nonprofit world are more complex, right? Systems wise. Yeah, you're right.
You like to use a quote from Lao Tzu?
Yes.
Can you?
I do.
Would you share that with us? I really liked it.
Okay. It's the quote from Lao Tzu, and actually, like, my dad used to quote it to me all the time, because he was always like, he's a doctor also, but every Wednesday we'd go out to see patients together in the community, and he was like a total, like, community family doc, and learned a lot from him, but he'd always quote, like, you know, Asian quotes all the time as we're driving everywhere, like, get a quote for everything. So this is the quote for communities that he shared with me from Lao Tzu, and it says, learn from the people. Plan with the people, begin with what they have, build on what they know. Of the best leaders, when the task is accomplished, the people will remark, we have done it ourselves.
Well, Dr. Parajon, this has been really interesting. I appreciate you taking time from your work in Nicaragua to jump on Skype with me and talk about this.
Oh, of course. And I mean, yes, thank you so much for doing this and letting us share a little bit about what we're doing both in Nicaragua and New Mexico. So.
That was Dr. Laura Chanchin Parajon, co-founder of Amos Health and Hope with her husband, David. She's also executive director of the Office of Community Health at UNM and assistant professor in the Department of Family Medicine. You can find all our episodes of University Showcase online at kunm.org. Thanks to Associate Professor David Bashwinner for providing our theme music. I'm Megan Kamrick. Thanks for listening to University Showcase.